Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay.
LGBTs have to find a household of worship that reflects what your views are and what you believe.
A gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you.
What's not loving is to look someone in the eye when God says they are in jeopardy of an eternity in hell and merely wink and nod at their sin because you're afraid of being called names.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio. My name is John Kratz, a fellow at Fortis Institute, guest hosting for Todd today. I'm also the pastor of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, on the south side of Georgia. Today, I want to talk about developing a working knowledge of the Bible. Okay, you know the Bible, you read the Bible, but can you put the Bible to work in your life? Now, let me just give you a hypothetical. Suppose there is an election in your country. Suppose you are bombarded by 1 million commercials on TV and popping up on your social media feeds and everything else. And each of the candidates is bashing the other one and telling all kinds of craziness about the other one. And by the time it is all over, you are in a puddle of tears in the corner in the fetal position, not knowing which way is up. I know that's just a hypothetical situation, but it feels so real sometimes, doesn't it? Now, suppose someone shares with you a verse from the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, for example. All right, what does this verse have to say? It says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will." Now, this does not solve the election dilemma in your land. It does not tell you which candidate is telling the truth, nothing but the truth, all that stuff. But it does help you in a lot of ways to know this truth and to put it to work, not only in your thinking, but just in your whole heart, your mind, will, your emotions. Because this is a verse that teaches us a few things. Number one, God has a supreme sovereign will. Number two, this master plan is designed with precise purposes in mind. Number three, God is working that sovereign will out in real life. Number four, that scope of that sovereign will is comprehensive. It includes all things, including the election. And the results of God's sovereign action is for more and more praise for his glory. I snuck ahead to the next verse, which after it says God's working all things according to the counsel of his will, the next verse gives the purpose so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. If you know Ephesians 1, you know the praise of God's glory comes up several times in this. So this verse, Ephesians 1:11, does not explain or solve the problems of your world, but it does provide vital perspective for all that's going on. I'm going to say it could be a complete game changer. It could take you from being a puddle of tears in the fetal position in the corner of your room to you're back in the game. You are thinking rightly. You are feeling rightly because you're thinking rightly. You've got a better attitude. And guess what? You are a better person for all of the people around you. That's amazing. One little verse of scripture can do all of that. Well, we have to say, it's not just one little verse of scripture that does this like it's a magical formula. What we have to say is that this is developing a working knowledge of the Bible. Let me take you to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 is a fantastic passage because it's going to talk about how the church ought to function, okay? It's a great strategic, philosophical, what should your church be about kind of passage. It starts in verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Okay, stop there. He gave. Who is he? In the context, it's Jesus. Jesus gives gifted men to local churches for specific purposes. All right, the apostles and prophets, they were the first century. Ephesians 2:20 says that the early church was built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. In fact, we have their revelation that they contributed in the writings of the New Testament. And so we can know that our church is also built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets because we are a New Testament church. The Lord speaks to us and reveals his word to us to reveal his character and his ways and his will for our church. So we got that, the foundational. But we also now have evangelists and pastor teachers. They are given to the church. I try to tell my church, I'm a gift from Jesus to you. I'm not sure they believe me, but anyway, we do our best, right? Well, what's our mission as gifted leaders given by Jesus to the church? Verse 12, to equip the saints. Who are the saints? All Christians in the church. So we are called to be equippers of the saints for the work of ministry. Wait, Pastor, I thought we paid you to do the work of ministry. Yeah. But all saints are to do the work of ministry. But I'm not. How am I capable of doing the work of ministry? I thought that's something for the professionals. No, the professionals are like player coaches. They are coaches for sure. They do have oversight, but they're also players. But one of their jobs is to help the team to do the best that it can do. In other words, to equip you to do the work of ministry in the church. So what is the goal of that? Well, it's for the building up of the body of Christ. So the goal is that the player coaches, the pastors, the evangelists, they would be in there with the people, being servants, doing the work of ministry, but equipping you to do the work of ministry so that the whole church would be built up so that it would be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Then verse 14 tells us what happens if that's not going on. And of course, we know many examples of this everywhere we turn. Verse 14, so that we may no longer be children, immature, not built up, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. What does that mean? It means if a church is not built up properly, if a church is spiritually immature, it is vulnerable to false teaching. Don't you hate false teaching? Yeah, they hated false teaching in the New Testament as well. Do you know that the number one warning of the New Testament writers, from Jesus to Paul to Peter, is beware of false teachers? In fact, if you stack up the other warnings of the New Testament, it's not even close. I'm pretty sure it's more than double anything else, the warning against false teachers. You might think, well, false teaching is something that really big, solid, established churches have to worry about. Uh-uh. No. In fact, in the New Testament, false teaching was happening all the time. And so that's why it was the number one warning. One time I had a chance to go to a country, Montenegro. And at the time, there were not many churches, not many Protestant churches at all. I'm not talking about good or bad. I'm talking about not many. And I had a chance to meet with people from like two of the three major Protestant churches at the time. And by major, I mean existing, right? There weren't many at all. And one of them was giving prayer requests, one of the people. This was like a prayer meeting. And in the prayer meeting says, I met somebody and they were telling me this, that, the other. And I was going down, I was horrified, right? My eyes got bigger and bigger as I was hearing the prayer requests given, because I'm like, you were talking to a Jehovah's Witness. They were giving you false teaching. And I was like, Lord, this does not seem fair. This country, these precious people, there's only a few churches even trying to preach the gospel. And one of them is being impacted by false teaching. It is dangerous stuff. It was present in the early church. It is present now. The devil is not asleep. He is busy. Well, how do we fight against the devil and false teaching? We need to equip the saints to have a working knowledge of the scripture. The way ministry happens is in verse 15 of Ephesians 4, rather speaking the truth in love. We are to grow up in every way, into him who is the head, into Jesus Christ. Okay, into Christ. Yes, this is critical. So how do you do ministry? You speak God's word to one another. This is big time important. After our break, we're going to come back and talk about how you can have a working knowledge of the scripture. I'm John Crott, sitting in for Todd Friel, back in a moment.
Question, what if everything you knew about God is absolutely true, but it's not changing how you live your life? And Dr. John Crotts, the host of Integrated, understands this struggle because he's lived it, and he's discovered five powerful ways to bridge that gap between knowing God and truly loving him with everything we've got. In his new Fortis Forum, Head to Heart, which is available now on Fortis Plus, Dr. Crotts shares how biblical characters like Stephen and Daniel didn't just memorize truth, they lived it under pressure. Head to Heart, available now on Fortis Plus.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
You remember when you first discovered solid biblical teaching? It was the moment when the door swung open and everything changed in your life. What if we could fling those doors wide open for everyone, everywhere? Later this year, we're unveiling something unprecedented, and that's why we need you now. More than ever before. Through June 30th, every dollar you give will be doubled through our matching grant. Visit FortisInstitute.org/truth before June 30th, because truth, well, it was never meant to have barriers. FortisInstitute.org/truth. You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Gifford wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at FortisInstitute.org/lies. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at FortisInstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to FortisPlus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life.
Know your reformers. John Calvin was a French pastor, an author of the Institutes of the Christian Religion. His writings and ministry made Geneva, Switzerland a hotbed of Reformed theology. His institutes are still guiding documents for Reformed churches across the globe.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Wretched Radio. This is John Kratz filling in for Todd today. And we have been talking about developing a working knowledge of the Bible. I was thinking about Mark chapter 2, when a group of people climbed up on a roof and lowered their paralytic friend through the roof. Well, you need to know a little bit about the historic situation, because if you think, oh, if a group of people climbed up on my roof, I don't think that would go very well with the pitch of the roof and the nature of the construction. How in the world could somebody lower a paralytic through the roof and that not get stuck up in the rafters of the attic? But in Bible times, the roofs were flat and often had logs and branches and clay, and then some palm branches on top of that to keep the water out. Well, you could actually move those branches, dig up the clay tiles, and you really could lower your friend through the flat roof. They often had little staircases on the side of the houses as well, so that they could use the space on the roof for storage, or to be up there on a hot day, have a little picnic on the porch, you know, that kind of thing. And so knowing a little bit about that is just going to help you be a better reader. Being a careful reader is so important. Some people think of the Bible as this mystical book. Well, read it like you would read any book. You're going to find all kinds of things in the Bible as you read it. But the more careful you are paying attention to the flow of context, right? So earlier, I encouraged you to take a book of the Bible and read straight through it. Or to use John MacArthur's method, read straight through the same book of the Bible for 30 days in a row. That would really give you a better understanding of that book of the Bible. Well, as you do that, you're gonna notice the flow of the context. You don't just want to pick and choose thoughts and ideas randomly. They fit into the flow. Paul is writing a real letter to a real church, and this part comes before that part. I mean, we've been using the illustration of the book of Ephesians. So in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, there's a big therefore. And that is a hinge that connects what he's been talking about in 1 through 3 to what he's about to talk about in 4 through 6. He's going to talk about walking worthy of the calling that you have. Well, chapters 1 through 3 are all about our great salvation in Christ. And now here's what you do about understanding our great salvation in Christ. So if you don't have the flow, you could just take chapters 4, 5, and 6 as kind of a list of rules, because there's a lot of commands in those chapters that Paul gives to the Ephesian church. But if you recognize that it's based thoroughly upon the foundation of the gospel indicatives, so what's true about you in your great salvation, now here's what you do about it in chapters 4, 5, and 6. The flow becomes really important. Now, it's good to know some of the basic tools as you're developing a working knowledge of the Bible. One time when Carissa, our oldest daughter, was younger, she asked me a Bible question. Dad, what does the Bible say about, I don't even remember, I think it was about love or something like that. And I thought, okay, I've got a minute here. I could tell her a verse or two and give her a little summary of that. Or I could show her in her Bible that in the back of the Bible, there is a concordance, which shows some of the key references to some of the key words, like the word love, and where it shows up in the Bible. And if she looks up those verses herself, she's actually going to get a better understanding of what the Bible has to say about this topic. So a concordance can be really helpful. And you can imagine if you combine the effects here, you're learning the book of Ephesians because you're reading it every day for 30 days. And now you see it show up in a concordance. You're like, oh yeah, that was In fact, God's love, that was in the second section. It's actually in the first section of Ephesians as well. Okay, I can see how God's love leads to my love and the need to show love to other people. That's great. So another great way to get a working knowledge of the Bible is to read the Bible with other Bible readers, especially other skillful Bible readers. Earlier, I told you that the plan for the church is that the pastors and spiritual leaders would be player coaches. In other words, they better be people who know their Bibles and know how to put it into practice. What if you got together with one of your spiritual leaders? Maybe it's a small group leader. Maybe it's one of your elders or your pastor. And you said, could we read the Bible together? And as you read it, maybe you read a paragraph, I read a paragraph, and go back and forth, you can kind of compare notes. You can actually do this separately, by the way. You could take a good spiritual friend and say, hey, you read Ephesians 1, I'll read Ephesians 1, and let's get together for coffee on Friday, and let's compare notes. And guess what will happen? You will have found things they didn't find. They will have found things you didn't find. You both will have found some great insights. And now, together, you will know more than you did before. And then you can even talk about ways to put this truth into practice. That's going to be great. Another way that you can grow in developing a working knowledge of the Bible is to summarize each chapter of the Bible in 6 words or less. What's magic about 6 words or less? I don't know. I heard it from somebody else. But I think it's beneficial because it does force you to say, what's this thing talking about? What's the one thing that the whole thing is talking about in Ephesians chapter 1? And if you can smush it down to 6 words or less, you are going to know that chapter better than you did. Another way to develop a working knowledge of the Bible is to listen to good sermons. Sermons that do walk through books of the Bible, pay attention to the context, explain the passage in context, and then apply it. So imagine you've read the book of Ephesians. You and your friend have talked about it. You've summarized each chapter in 6 words or less. And now you listen to a series of sermons by a great Bible teacher, and you go, this is incredible. Number one, I could have anticipated a couple of those things. And then number two, I learned some things I had missed before because the Bible is so deep and so rich. There's so much to it. A bad sermon is not going to help you. One that doesn't use the Bible, where the teacher or preacher just tells some fun stories or that sort of thing, that's not going to be helpful at all. Obviously, there are entire books that have been written by wonderful Bible teachers to help you understand the individual books of the Bible and the books of the Bible as a whole. You can also benefit from going through a book or a resource on hermeneutics. Our friend Todd has a book called Herman Who, which is going to give you some foundational material about how to understand and interpret the Bible, which is kind of what we've been talking about today. Another benefit of going through the Bible together with others, maybe a spiritual leader, is you could actually work on a sample issue together. Earlier, I talked about like a contentious political election approaching, and you were all upset by this, but it can be any issue. And then I showed how just taking one dose of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 11, which talks about the comprehensive plan of God and God working together all things according to the counsel of his will, it changes your perspective completely about that upcoming election. Well, if you take your friend and your coffee time with your friend and you start thinking about some issues that are going on, especially if there are real issues going on in each one of your lives, and then talk about what you've been studying, how it directly impacts your thinking, your understanding, or maybe your obedience to your current crisis, That is going to build the fiber of your muscles in developing a working knowledge of the Bible. And the more you do this, the more useful you will be to the kingdom. When we gather together as a church family, we are not just gathering together to watch the show. The Bible says we gather to stir one another up to love and good works. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as the day draws near, as you see the day drawing near. So you're not just a spectator, you are a participant. How are you a participant? Speaking God's truth in love, Ephesians 4, 15. The more you know your Bible, the better weapon you will be in the Lord's hand, the better tool you will be in the Lord's hand, the instrument to serve your King. And that's what Todd tells us to do every day. That's what I'm going to tell you to do now. Go serve your King.